Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Say
yes, my God is awesome. What a blessing it is to be with you again this Sunday morning. Welcome to Rev Up with Reverend Alethea's Sunday broadcast. I'm Reverend Alethea Smith Withers, the pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to join us for worship at 6401 Chilham Place, Northwest, 6401 Chilham Place, Northwest in Washington, D.C. We would love to have you join us for worship. You would bring a gift, and we pray that we be a gift for you. We are a come-as-you-are faith community, which means if you've got jeans on this morning, come on out anyway. Our worship starts at 12:30 p.m. at 12:30 p.m. On Wednesdays, I invite you to join us and be a part of our prayer line. If you have prayer concerns for yourself or loved ones, call in at 6 a.m. or 12 noon, or 6 a.m. and 12 noon, and pray with us. Or if you'd like to just let us know what your prayer concern, we'll pray for you and with you. To call in for prayer, 605-475-4333. 605-475-4333. And the access code is 213-213. That's Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., bright and early, or 12 noon. Our Bible study begins on this Thursday at 6:30 p.m., and that is at the church, 6401 Chilham Place, Northwest. Come and join us as we study the Word of God beginning this Thursday, September 25th. And if you have teens in your life, and all of us do, we have teen children, nieces, nephews, or even grandchildren, contact us about our youth group. Every other Friday we have an activity for our teens. This Friday, please know that they're gathering, and for more information about our teen group, give me a call at 202-365-2842 or send me an email at revalethea, R-E-V-A-L-E-T-H-E-A. We're doing exciting, wonderful things at the Pavilion of God. We're a small church with a big vision. You can always stay in touch with us on Facebook, Pavilion of God on Facebook, or tweet me at Rev Alethea, or connect with me on Instagram at Rev Alethea. Every Tuesday on Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio program, I also talk about everything from pop culture to politics, and I do everything I can to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. We need to be engaged with a lot of the things that are happening in our world, and think about what's going on and the opportunities to grow and become knowledgeable. And as Christians, bring our faith understanding to whatever is going on. This Tuesday, I'll be talking with Oziama Egwuanwu. Oziama Egwuanwu, a brilliant young woman who has done wonderful work. She has founded a company called Burn Bright International. And she's going to be with me this Tuesday, September the 23rd, to talk about a wonderful experience that's happening called World Dream Day. And World Dream Day begins on September 26th, which is Friday. And on September 26th, people from around the world will be declaring their dream for their lives, their businesses, communities, and the world. And from where I sit as Christians, shouldn't we have a dream? We should be able to express our dream for our lives and our businesses and our communities. And Ozan is going to be talking about World Dream Day on this Tuesday. Join me to hear what she has to share about World Dream Day. Amen. We've got a lot to look forward to. I can feel the autumn in the air in Washington, D.C. That's where I'm broadcasting from. So leaves have not begun to change yet, but we can feel a difference in the air. And for those of us who are sensitive to ragweed, watch out. The ragweed count is up. But God is working miracles every single day. So now I pray that I have a word for you from the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, God, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you for yet another Sunday, a time to worship you, praise you, lift your holy name. Lord, a time to turn our hearts in a special way to a word from you so that you can guide us according to your word to see how we are to be in this world, how we can serve, how we can fully live the lives you have created for us to live. We thank you, Lord, for this preaching time. We thank you for the open heart, the open mind, the loving heart, giving heart, the caring heart, those who truly care to hear what you are saying to them and through them. It is in Jesus' name that I am praying. Amen. Beloved, I want to ask you a question. How do you decide what's next? How do you decide what's next? How do you decide where you're going, what you're going to be doing? How do you decide what job is next for you, what to do in your relationship, maybe your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your significant other? How do you decide how to recover from losses? It is amazing how we get stuck in pain and sorrow. How do you decide if you should recover? Because, you know, sometimes when we are brokenhearted, we stay there in part to declare how terrible whatever it was that happened to us. But if there is a nudging of the Spirit, and God's Spirit does nudge us from time to time to move from one place to the other, sometimes out of pain into joy, or sometimes from joy into greater joy. How do we decide how to respond to even the nudgings of the Spirit? A few weeks ago, I preached about the necessity to look back in order to go forward. We call this in the African-American community or in the African community, in the diaspora, sankofa, the ability to look back, not just look back and get stuck in looking back, but to look back purposely to go forward. Because when we look back, sometimes we can't see what God has done or what God is doing in our lives without looking back to see what God has already done. Amen. We need to sometimes look back to see what God has done. Say, look back to see what God has done. Amen. We need to sometimes look back to see what God has done, how we have survived the valley of despair. Sometimes we have to know that we have survived. We've come through the challenge when we were stuck, and everybody has been in a valley of despair in one way or another. And so we need to look back to see how we survived the valley of despair, or to come to some understanding how we were able to climb that mountain. We need to look back to see how we made it through the storm, how we got through divorce. And some of us have gone through challenges that are more difficult to talk about. But even this morning, I would name something as challenging as rape. How do we survive rape? Women sometimes and men sometimes have been raped, not one time, not two times, but countless times. And they have to wonder how you made it through. It wasn't by your wisdom. It wasn't by your strength. It wasn't even by your will, because sometimes we think that we have such a strong will, and we are invited to have a strong will, and there's nothing wrong with having a strong will. For those strong will people who are listening, God bless you for your strong will. But when it comes to making it through the challenges of life, it isn't your wisdom, it isn't your strength, and it isn't your will. It is divine wisdom that helps you make it through, that enables doors, closed doors, to open to you. It is divine wisdom that guides you out of the valley. It is divine wisdom that helps you figure out how to navigate that mountain. It is divine wisdom. It is the strength of the Lord, the strength and power of God. And it is according to God's will and God's magnificent way. It's God's will that enables us, that determines that we are indeed coming out of the valley. It is God's will for us to climb the mountain. It is God's will for us to make it over. God will take care of you through every day or on all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. This is something that you need to know. It's not that you don't need to guess at the fact that God will take care of you. You don't need to wonder if God will take care of you. You need to know. I'm inviting you right now to open your heart to one of the most powerful truths there is. God will take care of you. Don't guess about it. You need to know unequivocally that God takes care of you. What a blessed truth that is to know when you're facing those obstacles in life that you feel that will knock you off your path, or that you know right now, if you're listening to me from your sick bed, you need to know God will take care of you. If you're listening to me and you're incarcerated, I want you to know God will take care of you. If you're listening to me and you're trying to recover from an accident, know that God will take care of you. Or if you're in the place of a relationships break us down and break our hearts, if you're in the place of a broken heart because of a relationship or even because of your children or those whom you love, you need to say right now, be certain God will take care of you. How I got over, I remember Aretha Franklin singing spiritual, how I got over. My soul looks back and wonders how I got over. There are times when we are not even in our minds wondering how we got over, but our souls are wondering. We have suddenly awakened to the truth that we're sitting with a measure of a sound mind and even a measure of a whole body, and we know that we maybe had cancer or that we were broken in many other ways. And we look back and we compare ourselves to others, and we'll say, my Lord, I went through something. And we have to wonder how I got over, and what a blessing it is to know that it is through the mighty power of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, we read, for we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And the truth is, we get over when we know that we're walking not by what we see in front of us, and not because we can figure out the way out the valley, but we're walking out of the valley by faith and not by sight. In fact, it takes faith even to look back at the troubling times, the times when we need to remember that God helped us over. A lot of times when we start to look back and remember, we are in such fear and such awareness of the pain of yesterday that we won't even look back, because the lessons are there. The lessons that help us in today are in the past, and we need to be able to, everybody said, let's move forward. Amen. I want to know that God says we can't live in the past. We do walk forward in the Lord, but we walk forward in the Lord equipped with the truth, and the truth so we can have the courage to look back and be able to praise God. A testimony isn't about today. A testimony is about what you come through. And if you cannot look back, believe me, beloved, you can't say that you've got a testimony. A testimony is about the test that you come through. Amen. It takes faith to look at the sorrow and the shame of yesterday, to look at the mistakes and your losses. It takes faith to look at that. If you ever have enough faith to look at losses and missteps, if you look carefully, you'll see beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was carrying you. You know the poem about footsteps in the sand, and you walk side by side with the Lord, and then you look back at the footsteps, and suddenly you don't see your foot, and the Lord says, all you see are two footsteps, and you say, Lord, Lord, I thought you promised to walk with me all the way, and the Lord says, yes, I was not only walking with you, my child, but I lifted you and carried you through the storm. So there may be only two footsteps there because God was carrying you. And when you look back, you'll know that there is not only a lesson in that, but there's a blessing in that. Looking back is an opportunity for a lesson and a blessing. Each lesson and each blessing enables us to walk by faith and not by sight. And when you have faith, you can close your eyes and step out. You should know that even when you're walking in the darkness of night, and even when the lights have been turned off because you can't pay your bill, or the lights are turned off in your midst because of the cloud and sorrow that surrounds you, and when the tears are flowing so heavily you can't see a thing, you'll know that you can walk by faith and not by sight. And when you have faith, you can know that God does a miraculous thing. Not only can you walk through the storm, but God can give you a vision. God can give you a vision. A vision that can light your way, a vision that can call you forward into the next day, a vision that can call you forward into the months ahead, a vision that can call you forward into the years ahead, a vision. A vision is that direction, that path that you can see without natural light. It is that path that is illumined by the hope in the Lord. It's illumined by your hope in God. I hope to see the dawn of a new day. It's what calls you forward like a dream. It's a dream that you can think about in the middle of the day at high noon. If you know the Lord and the Lord is giving you a vision, you can have a vision in the middle of the day. It's the desire of your heart for that which God has created you for. It is that driving force. Simply said, a vision is a discovery of God's plan as it relates to your life. It is the discovery of God's plan as it relates to your life. So if you are 16 and you're wondering what does for you, I want you to know that God has set before you a vision for your life. If you're 25, I want you to know that God has set before you a vision for your life. If you're 65, I want you to know God has set for you a vision for your life. Vision is also foresight with insight. Amen. It is foresight with insight. It is the ability to see ahead of you and have understanding about a depth of meaning. Vision also means beginning a thing with an end in mind. What a blessing it is if we take a job and we have an end in mind. What a blessing it is when we say I do, when we're marrying, because we have an end in mind. What if we have a child and we have an end in mind? Amen. Whatever the mind or heart can conceive and believe, he can also achieve. If you conceive, can conceive it, think about it, have an idea of it. If you can conceive it and believe it, can also achieve it. Vision is conceived with the mind and the heart. To have sight without vision is worse than being blind. A lot of intelligent human beings who know a lot of information, but they and they've got sight. They know what's there on the table, but to have sight and without a vision is worse than being blind. Vision is not the same as ambition. While ambition is ambition is what a man or woman desires to become in life, and we all want to have ambition to be able to accomplish this thing or accomplish that thing. But vision is what God created for you to do and to become. You know, you might have the ambition to be a teacher, but God's vision is for you to be a master teacher. Or God's vision for you may be to start that school, not only to teach, but to create a way of learning. You've got to know what God's vision is for you. And the meeting point between what a man chooses and ambition can become lost if it isn't in alignment with the will of God. Vision is higher than ambition. To be truly successful in life. So if you're struggling with life and you're wondering why your job isn't working out, if you're wondering why your relationships aren't working out, if you're wondering why you haven't been able to recover from an illness or any kind of trial that you've been going through, it's because you haven't claimed your vision through God. Vision is higher than ambition. To become truly successful in your life, your ambition must become your vision. In the book of Habakkuk, in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, the Lord spoke to him in a mighty way. So I want you to look in the Word of God, Habakkuk, the second chapter, verses 2-3. Habakkuk, verses 2-3. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. Vision, beloved, I want you to know how you can grasp God's vision. How you can grasp God's vision. Number one, I want you to, in this moment, declare that you're an open door for God's vision. That you're an open door for God's vision. It is a decision, a desire of your heart that you say, oh God, yes, I am an open door for your vision. You must separate yourself from the crowd. If you want to know what God's vision for you is, you can't be looking at what God is doing just in someone else's life. You have to look to yourself, open yourself, and decide, I am an open door for God's vision. Don't look at your friend to see what God is doing and think that that's what God is going to do with you. Get your own pathway in life. The disciples did not follow each other. They followed Jesus. Open door. Declare you're an open door for divine vision. Number two, watch and pray. Watch and pray when you are the open door for God's vision. And you're going to say, when is it coming? Lord, what is the vision? You have to watch and you have to pray. You have to pray. In Daniel 9:3, it says, at the beginning of your prayer, the command went out. I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. You see, Daniel was praying for a vision, and God gave him a vision and let him know that he could understand that vision. It says, at the beginning of your prayer, that's when God begins to effectuate your vision. Watch and pray. Prayer keeps us looking for the vision, because the vision is not of this material sense. We may not recognize it. And so when you pray, not only does the prayer manifest, the vision manifests, but it enables you to recognize the manifestation of God's vision. It keeps your eyes and your heart in an expectant mode. Number one, be an open door. Number two, watch and pray. Number three, when you discern the vision, write it down. Write the vision. Write the vision. A vision that is not written will soon be forgotten. God told the prophet to write his vision down. In Habakkuk, remember, it says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Write your vision down. Now, we don't have to carve something into a stone today. We need to get a little tablet and write it down. Write down what God is saying to you. It may not make sense to you right away. It doesn't matter. Write the vision. God is calling me to care for children. If that's the vision, write the vision down. Doesn't have to make sense. Lord, I don't have children. I don't know children. Maybe that's what you're saying. Lord, why am I writing down? God wants me to care for children. Write your vision down. Write it down. Become an open door. Pray about your vision, and then write your vision down. Number four, run with the vision. Run with the vision. I can tell you, when the Lord said to me, start a church, call it the Pavilion of God, I wrote that vision down. I fought with the Lord about it, but I continued to pray about the vision. And when the opportunity came, and it came quickly, though I didn't fully understand, I ran with the vision. There are so many ways that God will give you to actualize your vision and make it a reality. And you have to be able to pick up that vision and run with it. Number five, get the time right. Visions, beloved, are not timeless. God keeps giving us vision time after time. A vision may be for a year, or a vision may be for 5 years, but God will always refresh you, your vision, so that you know that this is the season, or that is the season. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And our visions are sometimes the 5-year vision, or the 20-year vision, or the 30-year vision that God has given us. But we've seen visions come, and we've seen visions go. But you know, the Lord continues to give us vision. So we have to get the time right. Hallelujah. Be open to the vision. Be an open door. Watch and pray. Write the vision down. Run with the vision and pray that you get the timing right. So often we can't see the tangible connection between our circumstances and the vision God has given us. Prayer is something that continues to help us interpret the vision and hear God's voice as we live the vision more fully, brilliantly, and completely. And even though it may not make sense to us on the surface, I want you to rest assured today that God is working behind the scenes to position everything needed for you to understand the vision and accomplish the vision. Know that God is working in you, with you, through you, and for you, for God's mighty will to be made real in our lives. So I want you to pray about your individual vision. I want you to pray with the pavilion of God about our vision. We believe that our vision is to build a better world by answering God's call to love, serve, learn, and grow. God's call to love, serve, learn, and grow. That's our pavilion of God vision. And we're praying that you will claim God's individual vision for your life. That's my prayer, beloved. What is God's vision for your life? What is God's vision for your life? Now, if you don't know the Lord, this is the time for you to claim Jesus as your personal Savior. Have a personal relationship with Jesus so that you more clearly may be able to recognize your vision for your life. I'm going to ask you to simply call on the name of the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. It is so simple to have a personal relationship with Jesus, a partner with whom you can work through the understanding of your vision, the accomplishing of your vision, and even later to discover your mission. The Word of God says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So pray with me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Wash me clean. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Beloved, if you pray that simple prayer, you have been saved. I invite you to join us and work out your salvation in company with others who are on that journey too at the Pavilion of God. I encourage you that if you have a church home, visit that church home. Pray with your church members. They will support you on the way. But know that our doors are always open to you. And thank you for listening to this Sunday's message. Join us next Sunday at 12 noon for another Word from the Lord. Until then, rev up, accelerate, and energize your life.